You're listening to a Rig Train Masterclass, supported by the Radio Independence Group and Creative Skillset, independent training for the UK radio production industry.
My kind of main thing that I think that as radio producers and radio broadcasters, we're uniquely well positioned to understand our audience. And I think quite often a lot of people that do social media are marketeers and are in advertising, and they actually have quite a big gulf between them and their audience, whereas we're speaking to our audience all the time. That makes us really, really well positioned to do social media well, if we can get it right. So some stuff I've worked on when I first started at something else a few years ago now, the first programme that I was kind of interning on and then helping out on was the review show with Edith on Radio 1, which we relaunched and won a Sony Gold for multi-platform. And I should stress I wasn't working on it when it won the Gold, but I got to work with a great team who were doing amazing stuff with kind of taking a traditional radio format online. So they were getting bloggers to come in and be the guests on the show from all kinds of spaces on the internet, not just your kind of traditional music journalists. And they were also, importantly, getting the audience to feedback directly into the show, which is super valuable. Now playing at Six Music, again, another kind of traditional radio format that was revamped with online, which I think is really important to try and keep your format current and kind of move in the same spaces that your audience are moving in. My Playlist was the first show that I produced on my own. That was for Radio 1. It used to be called My Playlist, and it was simply a kind of get a guest on. It was a kind of, it's a rip-off of Desert Island Discs, really, but it was good. And then we relaunched it as My Playlister, which coincided with the launch of BBC Playlister. And so all of the playlists that people selected went up onto Playlister, and we also got them to choose additional tracks. So by subscribing to that particular playlist, you got kind of an additional number of tracks from the artists and the celebrities that you loved. Last year we relaunched Radio 1 Surgery, again another traditional kind of radio format that we tried to take online. We've hooked up with a forum called The Student Room, who have now have a special surgery branded space on their site, where we pose a question, whatever we're going to be discussing that week, we pose that on the forum and we feed the answers from those forum users back into the show. Which is working really, really well. The Brit Awards, which I'll talk about a bit more in a minute, which, as Sam said, was the most tweeted about non-sporting TV show in the UK ever, so it's quite a long caveat. But it was...
Forever is the important thing. Ever.
and that was in February this year, and I'm now working on Guitar Star, which is a TV show that something else are producing for Sky Arts, and that's the first time I've kind of done social media for TV, which is a whole another beast again, which I can tell you about afterwards if you want to hear about it. So the Brits, what was it about? So there's obviously event night with the Brits, which is crazy, and you have a lot of stuff to do on event night, but what most people, when I talk to them about it, don't realise is that it's a 6-month campaign up to the event itself of kind of letting people know that it's happening. So there's that. And we managed to grow the channels. The channels were around 1 million when we started the campaign in September last year, so we added about another 50% just over the course of the campaign across 5 platforms. That's the big ones: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Vine, and YouTube, and also we were doing the Brits website for them as well. Why is it relevant to radio? I think there's loads of reasons that the Brits kind of is relevant to radio, which I hope it is, otherwise I'm probably quite useless to you. It supports a live broadcast. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you have got that event night at the end of this 6-month thing. So however long your campaign might be, it might be a day until your next show, it might be a week until your next show, or in this case it was 6 months, but it's all leading up to that live broadcast. It's relevant for any of you that make programmes for a young audience, particularly who are interested in music and celebrity. That was the real market that we had to tap into for the Brits. There were high interaction levels. The age of the audience meant that they were really in those online spaces, and they were kind of communicating with you all the time. And finally, all social media is marketing. That's the kind of thing that I really firmly believe now. When Rhiann mentioned about not just saying, you know, coming up next or we're on now. That's marketing at its most basic form, and actually social media doesn't work that well for that. But anything that you and your station or your show that you make are putting out is marketing your show in some way, even if it's not directly throwing to a kind of TX time or anything like that. So where do we begin for the Brits? This sounds super boring, and when I first started doing it, I was just like knocking my head against the desk thinking, why am I doing this? And I wish I'd done it a little bit better, actually, with hindsight. It's a content calendar. It is important, particularly with a kind of campaign of the length that we did, to know what you're going to be doing and when, and to pick out specific milestones in your campaign and make sure that you're planning for those as you go along. And that's the same if you do a weekly show, like something else, make the Komodo Mayor film show, and they've got stuff that they do every day of the week across their social media channels, all throwing towards the show on the Sunday, and they're, you know, that's as much of a content calendar as having one that lasts for 6 months or a year or whatever it is. A style and tone guide. This relates back to who your audience are. So in our case, they're young, for the Brits, they were young, teenage, mostly female, quite like a sort of, quite a BuzzFeed-y tone, but maybe a little bit less sarcastic. And all of that, it's really helpful to write down and think about who you're, you know, in the same way that you do with a radio audience, who is your one audience member that you're speaking to, and how are you speaking to them? And we had that right from the start, and have it written down, because if the person running the channels gets hit by a bus, you'll want it somewhere in writing. we had a really strong visual design, which I think is really important. Think about the way that your show is represented visually, and that influenced everything that we made. And actually for the Brits, we got a designer on board really, really early on, and the designs that he came up with and that we kind of conceptualised around the Brits were poached by everybody that talked about the Brits as it ran up to the event. So there was, our designs were cropping up in various formats on Spotify, who hadn't asked for them, but it was lovely, you know, it's quite nice. And on the individual labels, channels and stuff like that. So if you get your style right, people will instantaneously recognise it, and then they'll want to reflect that as well. All different social media platforms have slightly different formats that work best for them, sizes for images, the amount of text that previews. So for Instagram, you would use a lot more hashtags than you would anywhere else. You would use a square image as you would for Facebook. You wouldn't use a square image on Twitter. They're all out there. All the information that you need to do that right is all out there on the internet. There are really good sites to kind of help you work out what in what size, and it's worth taking a bit of extra time to make stuff in the right format, even if it means, you know, you do your first design and then you just do those slightly different iterations. It will take a bit more time, but it's really worth it, because I think people are really picky about what they see online, and they notice straight away if your text is trimmed off at the edge of your image, or if your presenter's face is cut off, or, you know, because of the preview. Or they can't read the full sentence because of where on Facebook it crops your sentences or whatever. It's worth getting that right, because it makes you look professional, and no one will notice that you're getting it right, but they will notice if you're getting it wrong. Then frequency and timing guides. So Rhiannon sort of touched on this. It's about when your audience are online, when they're, you know, for us it was just before school in the morning and just after school in the afternoon. Those were our real kind of touchstones when we were putting stuff out. Also, interestingly, for the Brits, we were putting a lot of stuff out at midnight because things were still going for press deadlines, so embargoes were lifting at midnight, so we were announcing things when nobody was online. But, you know, anyway. And then just announcing them again at 8 o'clock, and everyone's going, oh, right, yeah. We worked with an influencer strategy, so we looked at who was big on the platforms that we wanted to work on, and we got them on board with us. So for YouTube, for example, for the Brits, we got Dan and Phil on board a couple of years ago now. Dan and Phil are huge YouTube stars, if you don't know them, and actually they kind of boosted our numbers in a way that we couldn't have even predicted, and it's really great to work with people who are good on those platforms. Converse with your audience and have good relationships with labels. If you work in a music station, you'll know that having a good relationship with a label is invaluable, because getting access to the artist, access to any kind of celebrity, is super, super valuable. I, throughout the Brits, and actually for any show I've ever worked on, keep a really, really boring stats spreadsheet. It looks complicated, it isn't. It's about using the platform analytics that you get automatically through any platforms that you're using that just say, how many people retweeted this? How many people favorited this? And it's just a really easy way of looking at how well stuff is doing. And I also measured week on week how many followers we had on each platform, so you know that you're going in the right direction, hopefully. I delivered weekly reports, which is really important for a client. You may not have to do that for, you know, in your for the show or the station that you're working on, but just keeping an eye on things week to week is really interesting, if nothing else. And there are also monitoring agencies that will do reports for you if you can pay them through the nose. So I think social media is augmenting rather than saving the radio star. It's just about being in the spaces that your audience are in. It's allowing your content to be digested in many more ways, so whether that's clipping up bits of your show and putting it out there, getting photos of your guests from behind the scenes, whatever that may be, and marketing you in new spaces, helping you create snackable content. That's the big thing that we talk about, snackable content. I don't know, it's a bit of embarrassing, but anyway. And offering kind of behind the scenes stuff that gets you closer, gets your audience closer to you and to your guests. If I was going to employ somebody for a show that was going to have social media, you want someone's CV is probably going to say, I'm really good at social media, as well as being a radio producer. You're probably going to go and look at them because it's so easy to do. So I guess you'd want them to be tweeting regularly, not being offensive, kind of being good at it, I guess, being sort of good at it, whatever that means for the show that they're applying for. But I think what you can do is, particularly on Twitter, look at the people that are relevant to you, your show, your audience, and start following them. And that immediately puts you in a conversational space. So you've got this constant stream of information, right? Twitter's just crazy all the time. But you can siphon, sort of, you can pop yourself in this more relevant space within that just by following people of interest, and then see what they're talking about and talk to them back, and don't always be selling them something. So don't always be saying, oh, I see you were talking about X, have you seen our programme on X? But sometimes just say, that's really interesting, or retweet it if you can, if you're working for a station that, or whatever that will allow you to do that. Just become valuable in that conversation to them and offer something back to them, and people will start to come back to you, I think.
You've been listening to a Rig Train Masterclass, supported by the Radio Independence Group and Creative Skillset, independent training for the UK radio production industry.